The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Just like when you get ready for a wedding and you're getting ready to get married, you want to look your best, you know, and have the dress and hair, all this stuff. And that's just for a wedding here on earth, but to think of getting ready to see Jesus face to face, what can we do to get ready for that moment? I mean, it's awesome. I cannot wait. I'm so ready for heaven.
After suffering two heart attacks, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright shares about the importance of preparing to meet Jesus.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have a part of our family here. You may not know this, but Billy Graham, pretty famous preacher, he adopted me when I was 19 and brought me into the family. Now, the family's here. Okay, so I got his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, who's been here many, many times, and we have one of Billy Graham's granddaughters. We have got Rachel Ruth. And your last name now?
Wright.
Right.
So it's a tongue twister, Rachel Ruth Wright.
There you go. Well, these two ladies have, in many ways, experienced hell against their bodies. Really, Anne had cancer, and it's a miracle. Her daughter had, tell us what, because you didn't just have one thing coming at you. You had a heart attack.
I did. I had two, and they're called, it's called SCAD, spontaneous coronary artery dissection. And it's very rare. It can happen to women basically in their 30s or 40s under a high stress event or like a hard exercise event. And I went in for a routine stress test, and it was terrible. Mm. And I walked out with chest pain, and I thought it was acid reflux. And 4 days later, you know, I ended up going to the hospital and had my first heart attack, and next day I had the second one. So, and it just, the artery on the inside just shreds. So.
Now, you all have written a book together, Preparing to Meet Jesus. But tell me how this all came to be, because this is a call of God on y'all's life.
Yes, yes, it is. And I feel like, James, this is the message of the hour. I believe that I'm living in the last generation. I believe Jesus is soon to return. And I've believed that since I was a girl. He's given me scriptures that I believe confirm it. And I won't go into the details of all that, but I could base my conviction on what He's told me in His Word. But we're all going to meet Jesus at some point. Mm-hmm. He'll either be our bridegroom and our Savior, or He's going to be our judge. You know, you can't avoid that. So when I look at the church, generally speaking, I see a lot of people asleep. They're not ready to meet Jesus. And they're going to have many, many regrets at that moment. And I'm talking about people who have put their faith in Him and they go to church and, you know, but they're just not ready to meet Him. And so we wrote this book together, and He will, you know, you brought out, this fall will be my fifth year checkup for breast cancer.
Wow.
So I faced death, you know, when I had that diagnosis. Rachel has had her two heart attacks a year and a half ago. We almost lost her. I watched her, and I knew she was dying, and God pulled her back from that brink. You never know when you're going to step into eternity, and we need to be ready for that moment. And I live my life so that 5 minutes before I see Jesus, I have as few regrets as possible. And if He doesn't come for me in the rapture, I know one day, because of my age, one day soon I'm going to step into eternity. I'm going to see Him, and I don't want to have regrets. And the interesting thing is, you know, in olden days, in Jewish culture and Hebrew culture, the bridegroom would go and make an arrangement with the bride's family and betroth her to him. And they would be married but not living together. Then he would go back, and his job during that year's interim was to prepare a place for her to live in. Mm. Her job during that year's interim was to get ready to go and live with him. So I feel like we're in that. You know, Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for us. He will come again to receive us to Himself, that where He is, we may be also. He's getting the house ready. We need to get ourselves ready, whether it's at, you know, whether it's through old age, whether it's through a horrible accident, whether it's through disease, whether it's through the rapture, we need to be ready. So Rachel Ruth teaches an incredible online Bible study. It's you can find it at annegrahamlotz.org.
What's it called? What is it called?
It's just Rachel Ruth.
Just Rachel Ruth's Bible study. So it was Rachel Ruth's Genesis Bible study. Now I'm going to be teaching Exodus, but But you can find it on anngrahamwatts.org.
And she has 13,000 people it's from free. Around the world. Yeah. So from That's Russia, awesome. From Lebanon, from Africa, from Australia. And she was teaching through Genesis and teaching this particular passage because the book is based on, you'll have to tell them, but Genesis 24, mm-hmm. the story of Abraham when he sent his servant Eleazar to look for a bride for his son Isaac. And so Rachel Ruth has gone through and taken principles or characteristics one at a time, there are 21 of them, and found them in Rebecca and in the story, and then she's applied them to us. So each chapter in this book is based on one of those principles, one of those characteristics, and at the end of the chapter, we have a challenge, which is just an application for us, ourselves, and then when I finished working on that chapter, Rachel Ruth wrote the chapters, I worked on them, worked on the little challenge, and then the prayer that came to my heart and my mind is what I wrote down at the end of that. So I have personal prayers at the end of each one. But Rachel, tell them about your about Isaac and Rebecca and maybe some of the chapters.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Were you surprised at what you saw coming on her after she went through this and then to start writing and teaching this? Did that surprise you at all?
It did before that. I remember the first time I heard her teaching, it was at the Cove for a women's Christmas thing, and it was packed with 450 women packed in there for their Christmas luncheon. And I went to support her, and I got blown away. And when she gave the invitation, there were dozens of people, women who stood to receive Christ, and she prayed them through the prayer, and I had missed that. I raised her, and somehow how'd that happen? And so, because she's the one with ADD, she's the one who's got a crazy sense of humor, and to see her stand up and preach with power. You know, she was a teacher; she was a preacher. And so, our last book had just come out, Jesus Followers, which is then when her heart attacks happened, and then we wrote this book together, You know, it's been a journey, James. So I'm amazed at what God has allowed her to do and her sensitivity to His Spirit, her incredible insights into His Word. You read through it, you won't find anything like this because the insights are so fresh and so Spirit-inspired that you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll be blessed. You know, it's a fabulous story.
It looks to me like by the 21 chapters, it's a 3-week, 21-day journey into the fullness of the presence
That's
of God.
Right. Yeah.
Are you surprised at what He's doing? You didn't know you was going to have a PR person that'd be this excited about it, did you?
I know. Well, it's so sweet. And this, I feel like I am evidence of what the Lord can do with a very weak vessel, because there's no reason why I should be able to get up and give a message or write a book. I was the student every teacher just dreaded to have because I couldn't comprehend. I was raising my hand all the time. I don't understand. And so it just, I felt like God took the least of these and is using me, and I'm baffled by it. Every time I get up to speak or I write a book, like I reread it and I had to do it on the audio book and I'm just like, how did God do that?
You are a miracle. Tell me what you want the book to do, how you believe God's going to use it.
Well, just looking around at what's happening in our world, it is unreal how everything is melting down and all these horrible things are happening, and they're going after our children, they're going after truth, like truth is, they don't want it anywhere, and Christians are getting persecuted, and you just cannot even believe the things that are happening. And so we know Jesus is getting ready to come back, and I feel like a lot of believers probably want to tuck away and just wait, you know, but we have to prepare ourselves for
a light, set up on the light. We gotta be visible.
Exactly.
And He's visible in us.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And so this book hopefully addresses those things where we can search our hearts if there's kindness, if there's humility, if we were even part of God's family. Have we ever given, we may go to church and go to Bible study, but do we ever remember a time when we've prayed and asked Jesus to come live inside?
And stop on that one, because that was the first characteristic that Abraham gave the servant.
Yeah. It's so sweet in the story of Abraham when he asked his servant, you know, I need you to go find a bride for Isaac and don't look amongst the Canaanites. I want you to go to my family and find a bride for Isaac. And so the servant does that because that was important. He didn't want a Canaanite who isn't, you know, doesn't care about God or anything like that, but go back to his family. And that is such a picture that in order to be a bride, we have to be part of God's family. That's the first characteristic, is to make sure you're part of the family. And so we've got to make sure that we have a time in our lives where we've asked Jesus, humbled ourselves and said, I know I'm a sinner and I want you to come into my life and take away these sins and cover them with your blood and have a right relationship with you. And then the journey begins, and then you can do the rest of the book, because then we can just kind of gently go through piece by piece. And do I see this in my life, and how can I fix this? And it's just like when you're getting ready for a wedding and you're getting ready to get married, you want to look your best, you know, and have the dress and hair, all this stuff that, and that's just for a wedding here on earth, but to think of getting ready to see Jesus face to face, what can we do to get ready for that moment? I mean, it's awesome. I cannot wait. I'm so ready for heaven, but we can do things to get ready to see.
And did you feel like it turned out to be rather deliberate, that you would, what we could easily make a day process?
Yes.
Is that what you've seen happen?
Yes.
So they're just short chapters. So we were saying last night, it's so nice, especially if you're busy, but just have a short chapter that touches on one primary characteristic or principle.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the servant chose according to the guidelines that Abraham gave him, but he chose Rebecca. But then Rebecca had to choose. We were talking about that this morning.
Yes. So well, it's so sweet, because when Abraham was asking his servant, then the servant said, well, that's fine, but if when I go, what if she doesn't want to come with me? And he said, well, then I don't hold you to this. It's okay. Don't force her, you know, in a sense, and then don't take Isaac. I want him to stay here. And so that's a picture of that we're all offered this free gift, but it's up to us to choose. Mm-hmm. Do we want to follow?
Do we want to go?
And so it's this great, beautiful picture of both. And we're chosen, but are we going to choose?
And you know, you're choosing him. You're not choosing a membership.
Yes.
Betty was a church member, but she didn't know Jesus.
That's true.
And she was the sweetest little church member you ever saw.
There's so many like that.
But to know now, at the age that we are, we're considered part of the older generation now. You know, James and I have said over and over again, we want this to be the best season of our life.
Yes.
We want to be closer to him and to walk closer in his footsteps than we ever have before. We want to have more zeal and love for what God loves. He loves all of us.
That's right.
And we want to show that love in the greatest way that we've ever been able to express it.
Well, you all do that, Betty. Can I just tell you, I want to encourage you. You're so loving and genuine and authentic. But I think there are a lot of people out there today like you were.
Yeah.
So they go to church, they're involved in religion, you know, they don't really know a personal relationship. And the last characteristic that Ray Truth pulled out, which is my favorite, I think, maybe other than the first one about being the member of the father's family, but the last one is that when the servant took Rebecca and she met Isaac, he took her into his mother's tent and he loved her. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just an arranged marriage. It wasn't just something that she had to do. It was a love relationship. Mm-hmm. And the relationship we have with our heavenly bridegroom is a love relationship. It's not just master and servant or boss and employee, it's a love relationship. It's our bridegroom who's in love with the bride, and we need to, with hearts overflowing with love for him, we want to be ready for that first look. At least I do.
See, I'm going to be 80 years old, and I have never felt more loved.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like his love is so unconditional. Yeah. It's boundless. It's endless. Yeah. It's not measurable.
Yes.
And it's continually expressed. Yeah. And it's like he lets me know he's excited that I'm so excited about experiencing his love and then expressing that love.
Exactly.
And when you see, to me, that's what he's praying for. Yeah. As I look at these steps and I just read over them, all the things you're talking about are characteristics of somebody that's finding their way into the center of God's will to be a member that's rightly connected to the other members so that you're blessing one another.
Yes.
And then as a body, you're blessing everybody on this planet because they can see him.
That's right.
They can see his body adorned in his glory. Isn't that basically where you're trying to take everybody?
It's that natural overflow. When we have that time with the Lord and we're honest before Him and we get rid of things that we see in our own lives that we don't need there. And then not only are we blessed, but the others around us are.
And it really is the greatest evangelistic tool, is just to be somebody who represents Jesus so well that other people want to know Him because of what they see in us.
Yeah. You have to be pleased with her countenance when you look at her, because you know when I met her, I've not met her in person, and I saw her, she has a radiance, and the whole church can have that radiance.
That's
you've always had that desire for God to flow, and you want it, but you got to admit, you're watching a miracle right here.
Yeah.
Not only the fact that she's alive, but that Jesus is living so visibly in her. Can't you see that?
Yes.
And I believe we can see it in His whole church if we would just come like you're trying to help us get there.
I think that's right. And I think the things that Ray Truth has been through, the pressures, problems, stress, pain, God has used that to develop what you've just seen, what you see. And I think the church right now is getting ready to go through a time of persecution. It is going through a time of persecution. Mm-hmm. The things that they're doing are just, you know, almost you just can't believe. But I think God's going to use that, just like He did in Acts, to purify the church so that it becomes what you've said, so that we're attractive to the world. Right now, I think the world, so many of the, they paint us with the same brush and they despise us because they think we're self-righteous, judgmental, whatever. But you strip all of that away and you see somebody who's suffering and still with joy on their face and love in their hearts and caring about their neighbor. That's something that'll
that
make them
take
notice.
That was the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And
that's
it brought down the greatest power that had ever been established
that's
on this earth.
That's
it came down so that ultimately the power of Jesus could
that's
go to everyone and great births and miracles of things that change lives and reach millions. Could happen. And I believe right now, today, the church dressed up in Jesus, prepared to meet Jesus, adored in His glory.
Right.
I honestly believe it's possible that billions of people would come to that Jesus if they could see that Jesus, because the one they think they see or they've never seen, they're not attracted to.
Exactly.
But I believe that I see Him in you. Now, let me just pray for you. Lord, I love this girl. I got her on my heart because Mom put her on our heart. And she's a miracle to be alive.
That's right.
And she's got Your glory. And she's trying to get Your church adorned in that glory that she's walking in. Mom's excited about it, should be excited about it. But Lord, we want it to happen to everybody that's listening right now and watching, to really be prepared to meet You and to show people around them how beautiful You are, how magnificent You are.
Right.
Please, God, let us be an answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17.
That's right.
Let us see that prayer answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want to say to you, every one of you who watch this show know we're going to ask you to help someone. You cannot watch Life Today and not know we're going to ask you to give life today to somebody. And we point out the overlooked. And for some reason, you see the importance of touching the least of these with the love of God. We'll send you the book if you'll do something. Would you give a pair of shoes? These are just like they're very expensive shoes, but they're $3.60. $36 gives 10 people shoes, children. And we want to give them for Christmas. And then we want to give surgeries for cleft palate. So we call it Christmas Shoes and Smiles. Would you help us do that? I'm going to let you look and see some little faces can be changed. I want everybody to have the glorious smile you've got. Do you realize that children have a cleft palate, they don't ever like to see themselves, and their parents are broken. And then when you give them a smile, it's like what you are trying to do is give people the glory and grace and beauty and mercy of God. That's really what this book is doing. Because when you're prepared to meet Jesus, you're going to encourage others to get ready to meet Jesus. They're going to want to meet Him. I want you to watch closely and just ask this question. Do I want to be that person's miracle? Do I want to be the answer to their prayers? You can be. Watch. But I love you.
For a child living in poverty in a developing country, their smile may be the most valuable thing they own. But imagine if that child was born without a big, beautiful smile.
People told me not to dream, to live in a reality. But I am walking through those doors, 'cause I am sure there's something more than what I've been told.
than a decade ago, Life Outreach started an annual mission campaign called Christmas Shoes and Smiles. In addition to providing more than 2.5 million pairs of shoes for children, Life and its mission partners have also changed the lives of thousands of children born with a cleft lip or cleft palate by providing the surgery needed to give them their very own brand new smile.
A big thank you to the Life Outreach family. It's a privilege to serve with you as we share the gospel of Christ and as we provide life-changing surgeries in our part of the world. Our partnership has resulted in children's lives being transformed from disfigured faces to faces beaming with smiles, all because of your generosity in providing these surgeries.
I don't know if you noticed the little girl that was sitting in my lap when we first started Betty. I prayed that little girl into my lap. Mm. I just saw her walking, very timid, walking down the road and turned. And I sat down and I said, Betty, did you see that little girl a while ago? She said, I'm praying she'll come get in my lap.
I remember that.
And she turned around and came and sat down in my lap. But with that little girl, we went and we saw children whose feet were all torn up and diseased. We saw where a child had died with a disease that started in his feet, and then hookworms got into his brain and killed him. And the doctor there told us what happened. And we realized what shoes could do. Do you remember the little boy that had never seen his face in Angola? And we took a video, turned it around, and let him look at the monitor. And when he saw his face, see, he had not even seen a mirror, he went, ah, and he screamed and ran away. And it so broke our heart that he was scared when he saw himself. We came back and talked to you, and Betty and I got money together. We found that we would have to take him because of a serious surgery to Johannesburg, quite a trip. And we asked you to pay for it, and you did. And we gave that little boy the most beautiful smile. When I say we, that encompasses all of you. I've said many times, and I don't think it's an exaggeration, even in the slightest, the most love-filled, unselfish people I think on the planet are people who watch what you, God, have called us to do for the least of these and the unnoticed. And you know love never fails. We could weep over the hurting, the suffering and the unsaved, and the thirsty and the hungry, but we could not feed them, give them water, give them a surgery, give them shoes. You do it. It's the body of Christ. It's the family of God doing God's will on His earth for His glory. Could you give $500 for a surgery, $1,000 for two as Christmas gifts? Could you give $36 to give 10 children a pair of shoes for Christmas? We have to raise the money now, Betty, really several months ahead, in order to get the shoes, get the doctors lined up, get them to the places of need, and deliver the gifts and the surgeries. Would you right now go online or dial that number and take your bank card and use it like a check? Have you ever made a $1,000 gift or several thousand to work miracles? Could you give over $100 to give shoes? We have gifts to send you to say thank you. And I pray you'll give the greatest gift because of the great gift God gave us through His Son, Jesus. Would you go get that card right now? Use it like a check, please. Give a smile if you can. Give as many shoes as you can. Let's do this for Christmas. We have to raise the money now. Thank you for your response.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer. Not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences, and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted green crystal shoes ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring three of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries. With this gift, you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to thank all of you that have responded, and I know you're going to be blessed to get the book. You've got a Bible study. Your mom is excited about it. Yeah. She knows it's God. She knows you, mm-hmm. and she knows God's bigger than you, but He's real big in you. And she's right. excited. Tell them how we can find you if they want to go and see the Bible study.
Absolutely. So you can go on the website, annegrahamwatts.org, and on there it'll just say Rachel Ruth's Bible Study. And this year we're going to study Exodus. We just finished Genesis, so we'll study Exodus. And so Rachel Ruth's Exodus Bible Study, all you have to do to sign up is put your email in. Then every week you'll get an email with the link. We have a live Zoom on Tuesdays where I teach live, and we have interaction at the beginning where we discuss the passage, and then I give a message for about 45 minutes after that on that passage. And so
if they can get it on demand,
yeah,
after that.
So if they can't, because a lot of people in different time zones, if they can't get on the live one, then they can get it anytime. It'll just be in their email.
Well, and I think you'll be mightily blessed to do it. Thank you for helping us bless so many people, including this beautiful couple you've just seen. You've been helping Ann for a long time. And thank you for all you do. And I hope you do get the book. We'll send it to you. If you'll give some shoes or a smile, we want to say thank you. God bless you. Thank you for blessing others.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience. John Burke exposes mysteries of heaven by studying people around the world who have been brought back from clinical death. Next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.